I call this meeting the Property Tax Division to order pursuant to Rule 10.01. The first order of business is that we need to take the roll to see who's present. The clerk, Mr. Peterson, will take the roll.
Chair Joaquim?
Present.
Joaquim, present. Vice Chair Gomez?
Gomez, present.
Gomez, present. Lead Hertas?
On the right screen, present.
Hertas, present. Representative Anderson?
Anderson, present.
Anderson, present. Representative Becker Finn? Representative Becker Finn. Representative Fisher?
Fisher, present.
Fisher, present. Representative Green?
Present.
Green, present. Representative Hassan?
Hassan is here.
Hassan is present. Representative Herr?
Present.
Herr, present. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, present.
Marquardt, present. Representative Mortensen?
Present.
Mortensen, present. Representative Pulaski is excused. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, present.
Torkelson, present. And we'll go back. Representative Becker Finn?
Becker Finn, present.
Becker Finn, present. Madam Chair, there's a quorum present.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. I want to note that all the committee documents for today have been sent to members and are on the committee page on the House website. When this hearing was posted, the public was provided the instructions on how to sign up to testify during the public portions of the bill hearings. We've received no requests for public testimony today, and written testimony has been submitted and emailed to Ms. Fennick. So we're going to move on here. The first item, of course, on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from February 23rd. Chair Marquardt, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I had to get my buttons going. I have approved. I have looked at those. I move for approval.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Members, does anybody have any questions about the minutes? Seeing none, if everybody will unmute, we'll take a voice vote on those. All those in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, no. The motion is approved and the minutes are adopted. Members, also in your electronic packets is the revenue impact summary put together by nonpartisan staff for the bills that are before us today. And your committee packets also have the individual revenue impact statements as well. The next item on our agenda is House File 2865. Representative Hertas, would you like to move House File 2865 before the division?
So move, Madam Chair. So move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. With that, Representative Detmer, welcome to the Property Tax Division. Nice to see you again. Just saw you in taxes. Nice to see you again today.
Thank you.
Will you please present your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. House File 2865. Over the years that I've been serving in the legislature, we've been working on the surviving spouse benefits for our veterans who have disabled veterans. And it seems like every year we find something we got to tweak to make better so that we don't leave out certain spouses out of the realm of the benefit. And 2865 changes the disability veterans exclusion application that changes the date, basically. And if you take a look on page three, there is a, I don't know what these property tax committee is on making an oral amendment, but there was a date that they forgot to change on line 3.28. The rest of the bill, it's December 31st. And they left July 1. And if you look at other parts of the bill where we made changes, we changed it to December 31st. So can I do that as an oral amendment, or should we wait until it gets to the big tax committee?
Well, I'd like to ask the nonpartisan staff, because that would also, we'd have to do one for Liz Lagarde, Representative Liz Lagarde's bill.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
So I'm just trying to read it real quick to see.
Again, that's line 3.28.
Yep, I see it. Nonpartisan staff, how does that affect Is that making a technical change or Mr. Swanson?
Representative Joachim, I believe that the date on line 2.8 has to do with when the counties certify, the county's veteran service officer certifies certain information to the assessor for the purposes of this exclusion. I think Representative Detmer is referring to some application date changes that have been made in recent years. And I think he's just looking to align the date by which some of the information needed to determine whether or not a veteran qualifies for the exclusion needs to be certified to the assessor. The committee could certainly adopt an oral amendment to do that now. Since the bill is being laid over, we could also just update that date if the provisions included in the division report.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Representative Detmer, why don't we just put that on the back burner for now and we can change it as it moves forward. I just want to make sure that the counties were okay with it too.
So I'm fine with that. I'm fine.
Do you want to proceed then?
Madam Chair, yes. So I have one testifier, Mr. Trent Dilks with Disabled American Veterans, and he's spent a lot of time on this issue with our surviving spouses, and I'd like to introduce Mr. Dilks.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. Mr. Dilks, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Trent Dilks. I'm the Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota. And I'd just like to present real quick for this bill and the one that's going to follow the target surviving spouses that we're going after and why it's the top priority of the DAV and on the priorities list for the Commander's Task Force and all of the congressionally chartered service organizations in Minnesota. Just for the committee's reference, the Blue Water Navy veterans are a group of Vietnam veterans who served off of the coast of Vietnam, mostly naval veterans. In the early 90s, there was a decision made in Washington, D.C. that excluded our Blue Water Navy veterans from all of the Agent Orange presumptives. It wasn't a law. It was a bureaucrat with a pen that said, well, technically the original law didn't cover them. And for the next 29 years, we did not cover our Blue Water Navy veterans for any of the illnesses, cancers that they developed while they were serving. Just 2 years ago now, we finally got that changed. And our Blue Water Navy veterans are getting their illnesses recognized. Unfortunately, during that time, many of them passed away. And they left behind surviving spouses that had no eligibility for benefits. So within the last 2 years, those surviving spouses have become eligible for benefits. And it pointed to the issue with the current statute for the property tax value exclusion, which currently reads the death of the veteran and not the award of DIC is dependency and indemnity compensation. That's the surviving spouse's monthly payment if their veteran dies in or as a result of their service to our country. And so what this bill would do is update that language to 2 years of the decision so that those surviving spouses who many have gone a decade or more with no benefits, who are now just finally getting their deceased spouse's service recognized and the sacrifice they made recognized, it would make them eligible if they fit the rest of the criteria for the property tax exclusion to apply for this. The second group that it does, and I just got last week another email about this from a county veteran service officer, the surviving spouses who are denied their benefits initially wrongly often find themselves in a fight for more than 2 years with the VA. The example I got here just in the last week or so was a surviving spouse who did everything right, saw her county veteran service officer after her veteran passed away as a result of an injury he had incurred while he served our country, filed the paperwork properly. The VA misprocessed it, denied. She had to go into the appeals process. All said and done, it was 4 years plus from the death of the veteran before the surviving spouse was able to receive the DIC payment that she had earned and her veteran had earned while serving her country. So that is the two groups, and it's not a large amount of veterans. I know there's some analysis done for it in the Senate, and there's not a large amount of them, but it is two very impactful groups of surviving spouses we're trying to take care of. That's why the Disabled American Veterans have made it our top priority to take care of them and to try to get them. They're originally intended to be covered the decision versus death word. So we don't see this as an expansion. These are surviving spouses that were intended to be covered by this benefit, but not taking into account that sometimes the VA makes mistakes and sometimes things like what we did to our Blue Water Navy veterans happens. So we'd just like to get that language updated and take care of these surviving spouses.
Thank you, Mr. Dubs. Representative Detmer, did you have anything to add? And then we'll move to questions.
Well, Madam Chair, I think we all tend to depend on experts in their fields. And I would like to say Trent Dilks is an expert in his field. And he has brought some good information over the years that I've known him regarding veterans issues. And as you know, I spent a lot of time on veterans issues. So I really appreciate his support in bringing this to my attention. And I just hope we get that support and we'll be available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. And as Mr. Dilks noted, in the revenue estimate, it's saying it's very negligible cost to the state. Yeah. And also they're estimating that fewer than 10 veterans would be added to this. So, you know, we talk a lot about shifts onto other properties in this committee, but that's a very negligible shift if it's 10 per state over the whole entire state. So I want to open it up to questions if folks have any. Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Detmer, for bringing this bill forward. I didn't see it in the language as such, but and I'm not certain if this is even connected to the same bill, but in the past, we've had these exclusions for surviving spouses, and I seem to recall some years ago that there was kind of a sunset if the spouse were to remarry or to that their financial circumstances had changed. Do you recall, Representative Detmer, if that's still part of this bill, or am I thinking of something else?
Madam Speaker?
Representative Detmer.
And Representative Hertas, that's another issue we worked on for several years. And when I first came in the legislature, a surviving spouse, the veteran was 100% disabled in terms of property tax exclusion, the surviving spouse only got 2 more years of that. And if they sold their property or remarried, they did not get that benefit. We increased it to 5 years, we increased it to 8 years. I think it was 2 years ago, we got rid of that 8-year limit and then allowed a one-time transfer of that benefit if the surviving spouse wanted to move into a smaller, less expensive home. Maybe they were on a big farm or a big house and they wanted to downsize. Well, the current statute at that time, you would lose that benefit of the property tax exclusion. So now a surviving spouse can have a one-time transfer of that benefit.
So I've heard to ask follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Detmer, for reminding me about that. And I think that we did address that adequately before, and I just wanted to thank Representative Detmer for being a champion for the veterans in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, folks? Seeing none, Representative Detmer, final comments.
Well, Madam Chair, I again, thank you for bringing me in to present this, and also for Representative Dilks. Mr. Dilks for his support of this. And hopefully you can let me know if we need to make that change of that date in the next committee hearing in the property tax, or if you can do it right within your committee. So just let me know if you need any help with that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Detmer. With that, members, I lay over House File 2865 for possible inclusion in a property tax division report. The next item on our agenda is House File 3066. Representative Marquardt, would you like to move House File 3066 before the division?
I will move House File 3066 for possible inclusion into the division report.
Thank you. With that, Representative Lisgard, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Obviously, I'm batting second on a very good bill by Representative Detmer. This bill is more of a language cleanup. We view it as covering the spouses who originally intended to be covered, but not adding additional groups. This would change the language from the current statute of 2 years of the death to 2 years of the decision of benefits. This is important because there are surviving spouses who can, through no fault of their own, not get awarded their benefits within 2 years of the death of their veteran. And I got the same wonderful gentleman waiting to testify, Trent.
Mr. Dirks, would you like to say your name for the Dirks? Sorry, I'm mispronouncing your name. Mr. Dirks, would you please state your name for the record so I can hear it again and proceed?
Thank you, Chair. I'm Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota. Same language, the same impact for our surviving spouses. And I really appreciate the representative for bringing this forward as well. It makes clear that when the service organizations, the Commander's Task Force and the DAV come behind something and identify in our communities a way we can help these surviving spouses and mostly widows from the Blue Water Navy, but a more diverse group of surviving spouses from our current conflict that we really appreciate throughout the veterans community, the bipartisan support that this has gotten and the attention. It's a small group, but I know some of these surviving spouses that went 20 years without benefits. And then I was just in D.C. And by the way, by the time we get them benefits, the gap has grown and they only get 40%. Of what their veteran would have gotten had they been alive. So the things we can do to relieve a little bit of the pressure on property tax are absolutely worth it. Again, I thank the representative for bringing this forward, and I thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Dilks. Members, any questions for Representative Liz Lagarde or the testifier? Seeing none, Representative Liz Lagarde, final comments.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and to the committee members, and thank you to Representative Detmer for also caring so much for veterans. I think it's important that, you know, they serve and their spouses serve with them, right? So everyone sacrifices and no one should be left behind, and that includes the spouses. So I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. Thank you for mentioning the spouses do serve with. When my father got his first set of captain's bars, the officer that gave him those bars gave my mother one rank above him because she said she should always be able to boss him around at home. So yes, our spouses do serve, whoever they may be. With that, members, I lay over House File 3066 for possible inclusion with the Property Tax Division report. I would like to note that the next few bills in the agenda have a letter in your packet with support from AARP that you can read. And with that, our next item on the agenda is House File 3384. Representative Gomez, would you like to move House File 3384 before the committee? Or I'll have Representative Gomez was having trouble with her headphones. Representative Marquardt, would you like to move House File 3384 before the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move House File 3384 to be laid over for possible inclusion into the division.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Welcome to the committee. Sorry about that. Welcome to the committee, Representative Hansen. I see that you also have an amendment. Representative Marquardt, would you like to move the A2 amendment before the committee, and then we'll have Representative Hansen describe it.
I'll move the A2 amendment.
Thank you so much. Representative Hansen, welcome to the committee. Would you like to describe your A2 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. The A2 amendment seeks to address all of the sections of law where my bill would change. The original draft only included one section, so this is just to make sure we've touched on all of the necessary areas.
Perfect. Thank you, Representative Hansen. With that, members, any questions about the amendment? Seeing none, this is going to be a voice vote, so you may unmute. All those in favor of adopting the A2 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, please present your bill.
Thank you again, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. HR 3384 seeks to increase the income limit and the years of residency required to be eligible for Minnesota's Senior Property Tax Deferral Program. The existing income limit is at $60,000 per year and the occupancy time is 15 years. My bill seeks to increase the income limit to $96,000 per year and reduce the occupancy time to 5 years. This change is anticipated to increase participation by 33%, which means more seniors will be eligible for help staying in their homes. Whether they've raised their families in their homes or downsized recently, aging in place is important to seniors around the state and their families. Seniors are under pressure because of rising costs of pharmaceuticals, additional COVID risks, isolation, destabilized access to healthcare needs, and so much more. Expanding the eligibility for the Senior Property Tax Deferral Program will help alleviate some of the pressures caused by property tax affordability and help more seniors stay in their homes. And with that, Madam Chair, I have Kathy Schill from our fiscal team and Jared Swanson from research to answer any fiscal or technical questions the committee or members may have.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Hansen or for the nonpartisan staff? Seeing that, I just wanted to thank, Representative Marquardt.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have some comments. I thank you, Representative Hansen, for bringing this bill forward. And I know Representative Wogemont and Representative Sandstead also have bills that try to keep seniors in their homes. And that is a top priority for the tax committee this year. I know a top priority for property taxes is, and probably the most important thing we can do for seniors is keep them in their homes, because we know that many of these homes were bought 40 or 50 years ago for maybe $25,000 to $30,000. And now the value has gone, $300,000 or more. And this is where those folks have lived for 40, 50 years. They've raised their families. They've held Christmas there. And this is probably still the meeting place for the family to get together. And maybe even more important for senior citizens, it's their sense of independence to be able to stay and live independently in their homes. And so this committee and these bills we're seeing from yours, Representative Hansen, Representative Wogemont, Representative Sandstead, all do that. How can we keep our seniors in their homes with an independent life? And I think that is so important with that and making sure they have the health care, top-notch health care they need into the future. And, I know property taxes statewide are going up, I think, about 4.5%. I am seeing market values now for the next year are going very, very high. We know that property taxes are being shifted onto homeowners, especially with kind of the post-pandemic, with what we're going to see with commercial properties. I mean, people are staying at home more. That's going to shift more onto homeowners and even put more of a burden on our senior citizens. So I'm just really pleased to kind of see all of these next bills coming up, because it really sets the theme of, how can we really, help the lifestyle of our seniors and protect them to keep them in their homes or their rental properties or wherever that is where they have their independence. So I know I've gone on here a little bit, but I just think this is really an important day. And Representative Hansen, thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. And I also wanted to note, too, in this bill, moving that The time in the home from 15 to 5 years also helps us for seniors that may want to downsize and open up those other homes for families moving in, and doesn't penalize them for downsizing to a smaller house with a maybe less expensive house as well too. So gives them some mobility. Representative Anderson, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just echo the thoughts of the others at the committee today. My case, my mother-in-law lost her husband, who was a World War II vet a couple of years ago, and very important that she stay in their family's home these last couple of years. So just so thankful for this exclusion. And again, I support it wholeheartedly as well. It means a lot to these surviving spouses to have that familiarity with the home. And this is excellent. I just want to say thank you as well.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Members, any other questions? With that, Representative Hansen, final word.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. It's really important that we help seniors stay in their home. As you've heard from Representative Anderson and Representative Marquardt, this is a growing issue. It's a conversation I've had with folks in my community, and I'm looking forward to passing this, and I thank you for your support, not just on this bill, but on all the work that you do for Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. With that, I will lay House File 3384 over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. The next item on our agenda is House File 3432. Representative Fisher, would you like to move House File 3432 before the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would like to move House File 3432 before the committee.
Thank you, Representative Fisher, and welcome to the committee. Representative Woldemott, you have a busy day today. I saw you twice in Education Finance as well, so thank you for being in the Tax Committee. You may present your bill.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Fisher, and thank you, committee members. It's an honor to be here before you today to present House File 3432. And as has been mentioned, it is so important that we do everything we can to support our seniors and help them stay in their homes. I have worked as a realtor for a number of years, and one of the most difficult things that I have done in my career in real estate is have to help seniors move out of their homes because they can't keep up with the cost of homeownership. Property taxes will often go up and up and up, but seniors' incomes remain fixed. And so we as a legislature need to use every tool available to us to alleviate that property tax burden for our seniors. And that's really the intention of the legislation that I'm bringing before you today. Madam Chair and members, House File 3432 is a proposal to increase the household income subtraction provided to property tax refund claimants who are age 65 or older or have a disability. We are going to double the amount that they can subtract for their property tax refund. So currently the subtraction amount is $4,450. This legislation would double that to $89,000 for the taxable year of 2022. This legislation would impact 252,000 homeowners and 94,000 renters. And in total, it would be approximately 346,000 homeowners and renters would receive an increased refund under this legislation.
Thank you, Representative Woldemott. Members, any questions or comments for Representative Woldemott? Seeing none. I don't think. Just checking again. All right. Seeing none, Representative Woldemott, any final comments?
Well, thanks again for your consideration, Madam Chair and members. And I just want to do a shout out to Minnesota seniors and even my Grandma Hilda, who's 93, going to be 94 in July. And she's still living in the same house she's had for decades. And we want to keep her there. We want to keep Minnesota seniors living in their homes. And by including House File 3432 and your division report will go a long way to supporting those seniors and keeping up their homes. So thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you very much, members.
Thank you, Representative Woldemott, and thank you for bringing energy to our committee today. I know I had to have coffee to get there at 3 o'clock. And Grandma Hilda might not be happy that you mentioned how old she was, but we'll let that one pass. Thank you, members. With that, I will lay over House File 3432 for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. Next up, we have House File 3472. Chair Marquardt, would you like to move House File 3472 before the committee?
I will move House File 3472.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. And I forgot to mention at the beginning of these, as always, we're laying all these over for possible inclusion in the division report and just having members move them before us, before the committee, and then making the motion at the end. Representative Sandsteed, welcome to the committee. You may present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two bills up today. The first bill that we're going to hear right now is called my Dream Big and Simplify Bill. Thank you, and to the members of the committee, good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to present House File 3472. This bill changes Minnesota's property tax refund system to be based on federal adjusted gross income. Currently, property tax refunds are collected based on a definition of household income that includes adjusted gross income as well as other non-taxable income sources, including Social Security, contributions to retirement plans, and government assistance payments. This can lead to confusion when folks apply for their property tax refund. I know my office, and I'm sure many of yours, have received calls from people and getting letters in the mail years later, letting them know they owe a few hundred dollars. They're confused and oftentimes angry. And then we work as staff with our staff to try to figure out why. And it's often to learn because there's been a miscalculation in the amount of the PTR form. To better simplify matters, this bill would also eliminate income subtractions and exclusions, except the subtractions for dependents, disability, and people age 65 or older who would be preserved. Instead of using a unique, confusing formula, we would streamline how we determine property tax refund amounts. There's another important reason to make this change. It would save people, especially our seniors, a lot of money. Over 70% of homeowners and renters currently receiving a refund would receive an increase of about $270, and about 93,000 more Minnesotans would be eligible for a property tax refund under this bill. I know that there are many ideas from both sides of the aisle about how to best help our seniors have an economically secure future in our state. This bill is just one step that we could take to help our seniors stay in their homes and better afford the rising costs that they're struggling with every day. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will stand for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Sandsteed, and thank you for starting out with the Dream Big bill. This one for sure will affect more than just seniors. It really does simplify going down to the AGI. We heard some of this discussion in taxes today going to the AGI for the education credit, and the testifier explained some of the very complicated things that are added back in that do make folks sometimes not even want to apply. So it's one of those important bills. Does anybody have any questions for Representative Sandsteed, Representative Hertaus?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was wondering if fiscal staff could maybe just walk through a little bit the tails there on the fiscal impact. There's a pretty big number there. And I'd like to just kind of reconcile that with the dollar amount and the number of homeowners that probably would benefit from this. So I don't want to get off on a long tangent, but maybe they could just clarify that a little bit.
Oh, Representative Hertaus, good idea. Ms. Schill, could you go over the fiscal note, please?
Good afternoon, members and Chair. Kathy Schill, House Fiscal Staff. I would point to you, I know that on this bill and the next one, that updated revenue estimates were circulated this morning to everyone. And so there's been a slight tweak to some of the numbers in that you'll see, or that Representative Sandsteed had mentioned, because the February forecast that was released on Monday adjusted some of the I would say, updated the number of filers that we have for both the property tax refund for homeowners and for renters. And so some of the numbers that you see, the table was updated this morning on the overall revenue estimate impact table, and you should have, make sure you have the March 1st dated revenue estimate in front of you. Now, because the federal adjusted gross income definition would change for both homeowners and renters, you'll find that this revenue estimate has identified for each homeowners and renters what the impact would be. And this is effective beginning for refunds based on rent paid in 2022 and property taxes payable in 2023. The first line of the revenue estimate tells you the homestead credit state refund has an impact of $156.2 million in 24 and $162.7 million in fiscal 25. And then the renter credit tax refund would be an impact of, and these, this would be a revenue loss, so it would be a cost, $51.8 million in 24 and $53.2 million in fiscal 25. When you add those together, you get $208 million in 24 and $215.9 million in fiscal 25. If you add those numbers together, you'll have the overall impact of $423.9 million for the tails for the biennium. Is there another question, Representative Hertas, that I could help with that I might have missed?
Representative Hertas.
Madam Chair, thank you, Ms. Schill. I can always count on you on being succinctly clear on going through the spreadsheets and the numbers, and I appreciate your having just walked us through that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Schill. You do explain things so that we can all understand better. With that, members, any further questions? Representative Sanstead, final word.
Thank you for hearing this bill.
Thank you. With that, members, I lay over House File 3472 for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. The next and final item we have on our agenda is House File 3509. Chair Marquardt, would you like to move House File 3509 before the committee?
So move House File 3509 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. And then Representative Sanstead, you may present this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 3509 is another bill to help Minnesota seniors have an economically secure future. This bill is far more focused than the previous bill you heard. This one is just really targeted at benefiting our seniors. As we discussed in my other legislation, Minnesota's property tax refunds are calculated using a very complex formula of not just adjusted gross income, but also other non-taxable income sources, including Social Security contributions to retirement plans and government assistance payments. This bill would exclude non-taxable Social Security income when determining the amount of an individual's property tax refund. When calculating federal adjusted gross income, federal law allows taxpayers to exclude a portion of their Social Security benefits. It's a complicated formula allowing a recipient to exclude either 100%, 50%, or 15% of benefits. Once again, my bill both streamlines the property tax refund formula while helping more seniors keep more money in their pockets. Under my bill, approximately 252,000 homeowners would see an increase in their property tax refund, averaging about $350, and 94,000 renters would see an increase in their renter's credit at an average of $290. We're all committed to ensuring Minnesota seniors can have a bright future by helping them pay for medication and healthcare ensuring they have money to put food on the table and have the ability to stay in their home or pay rent. This bill will accomplish all of this by ensuring Minnesota seniors, especially those that are on fixed incomes who really need the additional support, can keep more of their money. And with that, Madam Chair, I would stand for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Sandstead. Just figuring out that more caffeine makes me more tongue-tied, not a good thing. Members, Representative Marquardt, question or comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Sandstead, for bringing this forward. It's one of those win-win-win-win type of bills. So, you know, first of all, it's helping senior citizens, but as far as tax policy, in my mind, it's increasing transparency, it's making the system more simple, it's more consistency, and it seems a lot more fair. So when you get a bill that kind of does all of those type of things, you're hitting the right mark. So thank you, Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. And with that, maybe this one, even though Representative Sandstead went over it very well on the fiscal note or the revenue note, Ms. Schill, could you possibly walk through it briefly again like you did the other one?
Yes, Chair Joachim and members. For House File 3509, this revenue estimate dated on March 1st, would exclude non-taxable Social Security income. Just as the other bill did, it affects both homeowner PTR and the renter's credit. And so for the first line of the revenue estimate, homeowners, the homestead credit refund, the impact would be a revenue loss of $91.3 million. And then $92.9 million in fiscal 2025. For renters, it would be a revenue loss of $31.5 million and then $31.7 million in fiscal 2025. When you add all those together, the biennial impact fiscal 24-25 is $247.4 million. Once again, these are for refunds based on rent paid in 2022 and property tax payable in 2023. And just remember, there is a one-year lag for rent paid and for property tax payable. So all of these for both this bill and the last bill that we did have a fiscal impact in the tails only.
Thank you, Michelle. Members, any further questions for either Michelle or Representative Sandstead? Seeing none, Representative Sandstead, final word.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, and I would appreciate your consideration on this bill.
Thank you. With that, I will lay over House File 3509 for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. Thank you for your work today, members. We're going to give you a little bit of your time back, but next week we're going to be adding a little bit of time. So we will be hearing all of our local option sales tax bills starting during the tax committee time at 1 p.m. Thank you, Chair Marquardt. We'll recess at about 2:45 for like a quick 15-minute break and resume right away again at 3 and go up until 4:45 where we hope to finish our bills by. So it's the wonderful world of local option sales tax. I watched the Senate do this all in one day last year, so I think we can do it too. And if folks have any questions about the schedule next week or the week after when we're going to be adding up the Friday hearing that we mentioned, we'll be sending out some information on that too. Any questions about the schedule? Seeing none, with that, members, thank you for your work, and we are adjourned.